There's a new documentary out all about water in California and the sometimes shady backroom deals that come with it. The National Geographic film is called Water and Power, A California Heist. It airs tonight. It features familiar Valley voices like journalist Mark Arax and Bakersfield, Californian columnist Lois Henry. The film's director, Marina Zenovich, also grew up in Fresno. To tell us more about the film, FM 89's Ezra David Romero spoke with Zenovich as well as Adam Keats. He's the senior attorney at the Center for Food Safety in San Francisco and is featured in the film.
Thanks for joining us.
Of course. I'm from Fresno.
Yeah, that was actually my first question. Tell me about your Fresno history.
I was born and raised in Fresno, went to Bullard High. It was a wonderful place to grow up. The courthouse there is named after my dad. My dad was an assemblyman, senator, and then a judge in Fresno, and the Central Valley was his district. And my mom was from the former Yugoslavia, and so we traveled a lot. So I got a sense of the outside world, and so I moved, went to college in Los Angeles, and then moved to New York for a while, and I'm now in Los Angeles, based in L.A. So, but I have fond memories of Fresno. I love coming back. Part of the reason I did this film was to spend as much time as I could in the Central Valley and working with Mark Arax, who I had never met before this project, but I knew of his work and was a fan of his writing. I went to high school with his little brother. It was a lot of fun to be able to come back and, you know, include my mom and what I was doing and what have you.
Tell me a little bit about the film. What intrigued you to create it?
I was interested in exploring backroom deals and the politics of water, as well as learning about the history of the State Water Project. I mean, I'm embarrassed to say that I didn't know a lot about the State Water Project.
I watched the film last night, and I was surprised, even as an environmental reporter, about the depth of the shady deals that were going on, or in some cases are still happening. How did you go about understanding some of these things?
I'm pretty literal, so I always assume that people are telling me the truth. But it was fascinating to kind of hear all the different sides and how the Monterey Amendments are viewed differently by different people, depending on kind of where they sat with regards to that series of meetings and decisions. So, you know, I was lucky enough to have a lot of researchers. We just interviewed people and tried to piece together the story as best we could, kind of what our research and experts kind of told us.
How did growing up in California sort of shape this film for you?
Well, I care about this state on a deep level, as I assume any Californian does. You know, my father passed away a few years ago, so in a way it was kind of going back into his world, if you will.
I know you'll have to run off to go to set in a moment, and then we'll bring in Adam Keats, but what do you want people to take away from the documentary?
You know, this is a very serious issue. We show people in the film whose wells are going dry. You know, one of our characters says, watch out, you know, you could be next. You could be next. People need to realize that this is serious and we don't manufacture water and it's not a limitless resource. So we need to pay attention to what is happening and conserve as well as make sure that our public resource isn't going into the hands of private companies.
That was the film's director, Marina Zenovich, who grew up here in Fresno. To tell us more about the film, we're joined by Adam Keats. He's the senior attorney at the Center for Food Safety in San Francisco and is featured in the film. Thanks for joining us, Adam.
Thank you, Ezra. Great to be here.
Tell me a little bit about the film. What should people expect?
Although it's a dense subject, it's done very well. It's a little bit of a thriller.
So how'd you get involved in this?
I've been an environmental lawyer for a long time. I've been doing this for about nearly 20 years. I was mostly doing land use law, and I was looking at a project down in Southern California in the Tehachapi Mountains on the Tejon Ranch project. Tejon Ranch property, and they had I looked at their environmental review, and they had this water supply was coming from this thing called the Kern Water Bank, and I knew nothing about the Kern Water Bank. I'd never heard of it before, and I'd never really litigated or gotten involved in water supply issues before that. So I started asking around, and it was like scratching a little bit of a scab, and I scratched it off, and all of a sudden, you know, this has now been 8-9 years later, I'm spending all my time litigating water law, and specifically most of my time on the Kern Water Bank. I did never imagine this would happen.
Yeah, you know, I cover agriculture and the environment for the station, and, you know, after watching this video, it sort of made me question, like, the way the valley works and the way water works. Is that sort of the intent of this film, is to get people's minds working?
Well, it's definitely my intent in the work that I'm doing, and I'm glad that the filmmakers caught on to that. I mean, it's always a risk when you know, I don't know if they're going to get it or not. It's hard. It's kind of hard to grab it, and they definitely understood where I was going and what we were doing here at my organization, Center for Food Safety, what we're trying to do with kind of ringing this alarm bell. And I mean, specifically, you know, we have this long history of economics related to food production. Obviously, it's part of commerce, and food is a commodity, and it's sold and bought and traded and stuff. But we've separated water from that. Water has been kind of sacred. It's been very sacred in this country for a long time. It's sort of, we don't think of it in the same way we think of cattle or, you know, tomatoes or something. And I think that what's happening is what this film is showing is that people are starting to try to pull water into that relationship. And I think what the film is saying is, and what we've been saying is, look, if you do that, if you make water into something that's just an item to be traded, just like anything else, there are going to be haves and have-nots. And when you have have-nots with water, it's very different than when you have have-nots with tomatoes. I mean, you can't live without water. No one can. Nothing can. And I think we need to be taking a much more serious look at having finance control how we distribute our water in the state.
Yeah, I was super intrigued by all the backdoor meetings mentioned in the documentary, you know, about shady water deals, profiting a very small few. You know, you talk about the Monterey Amendments quite a bit in the documentary. Can you give me a quick idea of what those are?
Very broad scope. I mean, what the Monterey Amendments were, a deal made by Metropolitan Water Districts of Southern California, which is mainly the urban users in Southern California, and the Kern County Water Agency, which is mainly the agricultural users in the southern San Joaquin Valley. And they basically got together and said, look, we've been fighting each other. What would it take to stop fighting each other about the state water project, about the water we're both getting from the north? And what the solution was to strip the state water project of its checks and balances and its controls that before that required it to be operated on a sustainable and equitable way. So for those of us that weren't part of that conversation, that weren't either Met or Kern County Water Agency or the other couple of users that were in that deal, so let's say Delta farmers, let's say salmon fishermen, let's say Native Americans, Northern California Native Americans that are dependent on fish and water, let's just say all the fish in the environment in the Delta, none of those interests were represented in that deal. And so you talk to those folks, and the movie quotes them. They say, yeah, this is a great deal. We really worked hard at this. We saw this giant civil war we were having. Well, I mean, the civil war was just between two parties that actually had pretty common interests. The rest of the state got cut out of the deal. And what we've been doing at Center for Food Safety since then, we've been fighting to get those excluded voices back into the equation.
It was interesting to watch this documentary because I saw people that I've interviewed. It was sort of close to home for me. We talked about all the stuff that's going on, but what do you think's next for water in California? Are there shady deals happening today?
There is a movement in California to privatize our water resources, and it's through this concept of water trading and water transfers. There are bills being talked about and proposed and submitted that seek to facilitate the ability of different water users to be able to trade their water with each other, to create like an Australian-style water marketplace where water is bought and sold on a common marketplace. I think that is something that this film suggests is probably not the road that we want to be going down. So I would say that there's going to be a battle in California over water trading and water marketplace, and that's the general concept of water privatization. At the same time, there's this law, SGMA, the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, that got passed a couple years ago that is slowly, unfortunately, probably too slowly, but still is slowly putting in restrictions on the use of groundwater. And so I think there will be incorporation of our groundwater resources into kind of the discussion that we have about sustainability in the state. And that's going to be a good thing. So we're going to have these kind of counter opposing forces of kind of trying to, you know, release the Krakens with the marketplace, and then also recognizing the importance of regulation and kind of saying we still need to be having solid, strong oversight and a government hand in how we distribute these scarce common resources.
What do you want people to take away from this film?
I think the biggest takeaway is that water is a sacred moral human right. We should not allow the marketplace or dollars, money, to have anything to do with it. When we allow that to happen, we're going to be opening the door to consequences that we all should agree are unacceptable, morally unacceptable, environmentally unacceptable. It's not who we are to dewater the Delta and to cause all these species to go extinct. It's not who we are to bankrupt farmers in the Delta just to benefit some corporate farmers in the San Joaquin Valley. And it's not who we are to dewater, you know, villages and towns and people just so we can export almonds to China. I just don't think any of those things are equations that people, if they were able to be involved in them, they would not make those decisions the same way they're trying to be made now.
Yeah, it's a very complex situation going on here in California. Any final thoughts before we go?
I urge folks to watch the movie and then to go in deeper than the movie. The movie obviously just scratches the surface. There's a lot more going on, and my organization, Center for Food Safety, has a lot on our website, and there are a lot of other groups that are doing good work on this also that people should check out.
I've been chatting with Adam Keats. He's a senior attorney with the Center for Food Safety in San Francisco, and he's featured in the new documentary, Water and Power, A California Heist, which airs tonight on National Geographic. Thanks for joining me, Adam.
Thank you, Ezra. Appreciate it.